There are millions of varieties of aquatic life, thousands of species of birds and insects, and almost every nook and corner of the earth is a habitat of some animal, from mosquitoes to elephants, from ants to human beings. Who can easily enumerate the varieties? He gave every one of them a body, strong and suitable for its role in life, and made its decay and death a compulsory and predestined factor of its existence. Sermon 169. Some commentators think this sermon to be part of the preceding one. In this, Imam Ali praises paradise. If you pay careful attention and try to understand and realize all which has been said in praise of paradise, you will lose interest in these worldly pleasures, which you usually consider to be the highest, the best and the most enjoyable, sights and sounds, which are now so pleasing to the eyes and ears, and pursuits and occupations, which are so delightful to mind and body, will all appear worthless, idle, and hollow. If you visualize paradise, you will find before your mind's eyes beautiful and sweetly scented arbors of green trees along the banks of clear streams. There are trees whose roots are embedded in musk-scented earth, giving out the fragrance which cannot be imagined. There are trees whose branches are laden with various kinds of delicious fruits, which are so pleasing to look at, and which can be plucked without any difficulty. There are beautiful places for those who can enter paradise. Pure honey and delicious drinks will be served to them. People who enter paradise are those who had commanded honest respect and veneration in life. That is, who were pious and good, and their piety and goodness deserved respect and veneration. Allah's mercy and bounties were always with them. Till they reached paradise, their final resting place, now they have achieved eternal peace and rest. O listeners, if you could really know and visualize all that is in paradise, you will so keenly wish to reach there that your souls may leave your bodies in that earnest desire, and you may prefer the neighborhood of graves to your worldly places, so that you could reach paradise soon. May the Lord, through His mercy, adjudge us to deserve a place in this blessed abode. Sermon 170. An advice to people as to how they should behave and how they should be kind and tolerant with one another. The young should follow and obey their elders, and old people should treat the young kindly. Do not go back to that cruel intolerance which was prevalent amongst you before Islam. The people then were merciless, inhuman, and barbarous. They were ignorant, illiterate, and had not any religious guidance. They never used their intelligence to think about Allah and religion. They were like the eggs of a dangerous reptile, snake, or desert lizard, found in the soft sand, taken as the eggs of an ostrich. It looked cruel to destroy them, but if they were left to be hatched, poisonous reptiles would have come out of them. Sermon 171. This sermon is considered by some to be part of the preceding one. Imam Ali has discussed the mentality of his companions and the reasons as to why they were defeated. He has also prophesied what would fall upon them after his death, and also what would be the fate of Umayyads at the end of their regime. These Arabs, after having been united during the days of the Holy Prophet, have divided again. Most of them have abandoned the true Imam and are now confused and confounded. There are some who have faithfully attached themselves to the true Islam. They follow and obey him. In the near future, Allah will gather these scattered people to witness the fall of Umayyads. What a prophecy! He will make them help, tolerate and love each other. He will gather them like rain clouds gathering to the sky, and then he will open the door of his mercy upon them. United they will be a power, and will sweep Umayyads before them like the two flooding rivers of Iraq. No one will be strong enough to resist them or check their advance. Allah will grant them sway in the highlands, in the plains, in the deserts, and along the river basins. They will take back the right usurped by one party or the other. They will conquer cities and towns. And by Allah, the power and glory of Umayyads will melt like a tallow in front of fire. O people, if you, in helping truth and justice, had remained united, had not forsaken each other, and had not shown weakness and cowardice in fighting against evil, then the man, Muawiyah, would not have dared to attack you. The man who is inferior to you has succeeded in overcoming you because you have gone astray and are confused like Israelite in the valley of Jordan. By my life, after me, your confusion will be multiplied manifold. You have forsaken religion. You have broken away from truth and justice. You have deserted the person who was a true friend to you. And you have made links with the one who wants to exploit you. If you had only followed the person who was inviting you towards truth and towards Islam, he would have certainly have led you towards the path of the Holy Prophet, and you would have been saved from the misfortunes of leading a wrong life and bearing burden of vice and wickedness. Sermon 172. This is considered as one of those few sermons which Imam Ali delivered soon after he took charge of the Muslim state. In this, Imam Ali has advised people to respect the rights of others, to do good to others, to respect truth and justice, to follow the dictates of Allah and religion, and not to do any harm to human beings. Verily, the Almighty Allah has sent a book for your guidance. It is a book which clearly defines, describes, and distinguishes between right and wrong, vice and virtue, and truth and falsehood. You should adopt the path of truth and virtue so that you may be guided, and should shun vice and wickedness so that you may achieve salvation. Find out your social, moral, and religious obligations and perform your duties sincerely. Sincere performance of your duties will qualify you for paradise. Allah has ordained certain actions to be illegal, immoral, and irreligious, and He has mercifully explained them to us in detail. He has also decreed certain things to be legal and sanctified. Performance of these duties will bring no harm and injury to mankind.
Respect of a Muslim is a thing which has received highest sanctity, and rights of Muslims have also been for the purpose of social unity.
Closely bound and linked with sincere belief in Islam and Unitarianism, that is, for those who believe in Islam and in oneness of Allah, it is obligatory to respect the rights of Muslims. A true Muslim is he from whose hands and tongue every other Muslim is safe, but not at the cost of truth and justice. No one is allowed to transgress the rights of a Muslim. Make haste to face problems of social justice, peace and security. These problems are common to all, and when you have done your duty in these affairs, then think of the problem which concerns every one of you as an individual, and that is death. Remember that those things which deserve your attention, care and sympathy, society and introduction of reforms in social structure and state, are in front of you, and those towards which you are approaching are the days of your reckoning and reward. Your approach should be accompanied with good deeds, as death is drawing you nearer to them day by day. Be bold, reduce the burden of sins, and do good, so that death may bring for you the opportunity of being in company of the chosen people. Those good people who have gone before are waiting for those who are to follow. Fear Allah in so far as the rights of an individual or a society is concerned, because you will be questioned about performance of your duties and obligations in sphere of your activities, even in respect of the land you live in and the animals you are in contact with. Obey Allah and do not rebel against His orders. Try to attain and achieve good whenever and wherever you find an occasion for it, and turn away from evil wherever you see it. Sermon 173. After Imam Ali took over the administration of the Muslim state, and the people took the oath of allegiance to him, they came to him with a request to take action against the assassins of the third caliph. On that occasion, Imam Ali advised them, as stated below. This shows how keen was his desire to avoid unnecessary bloodshed and to allow justice take its own course in a civilized and peaceful manner.
It is a sad phase of the history of Islam
that Imam Ali's opponents forced him to take up arms in self-defense and in the defense of Islam, and it resulted in the battles of Jamal, Siffin, and Nahrawan. O brethren, I am fully aware of what you know and what you want. But how can I retaliate when those who had then risen in revolt against the murdered caliph are still in great power? They and not we still control the situation. The present condition is so serious that even your slaves and Arab Bedouins from the desert regions have united. Today these people are amongst you in such a way and in such a number that they can hurt you as and when they like, but you cannot harm them or defend yourself. Can you suggest a way to face and overcome this grave situation? If not, then your desire for revenge is foolish and speaks of the pre-Islamic fanaticism about revenge. Can you not realize that they have a big support at their back?
Besides, when the question of retaliation comes, people will divide into groups with divergent views.
There will be some who will have the same opinion as you have, and they will like to help you. Some will be holding just the opposite views and will disagree with you, while there will be a few who will have neutral views. Under these circumstances, the best course will be that you should have patience and let people settle their minds. Let them have some peace and rest, so that a way to achieve your desire may be obtained without a civil war and bloodshed. Have faith in me. Wait and see how and when I give my orders. Do not do anything which will shatter your power and bring humiliation and defeat to you. I shall try to avoid a civil war as far as possible. If I could not succeed in achieving this end, bloodshed will naturally follow.
Sermon 174. When the army of Jamal, under the command of Talha, Zubair, and Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha, started for Basra, and the news reached Imam Ali, he delivered a sermon, a part of which was preserved as follows. Verily, the merciful Allah sent the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, to guide you and to enlighten the humanity. He was accompanied with one, Imam Ali himself, who could explain the Holy Book and a code which is enough to guide humanity for all times. Whoever wants eternal damnation will oppose them. Apostasy and innovation act most destructively when they put on the garb of truth and justice. But those whom, on account of the sincerity of their faith in Allah, Allah wants to protect from this are not affected by it. Verily, if you follow the true Imam, then there is eternal security for you. Therefore, you should obey orders of Allah blamelessly, sincerely, implicitly, and without duress. By Allah, either you will follow the true Imam as he wants you to do, or the Almighty Allah will take away the control of the Muslim state from you, which will be handed over to somebody else. It shall leave you never to return. So far as opposition to my caliphate is concerned, they are united on this. I shall bear it patiently as long as you do not catch this infection. And if, in spite of the weakness of their arguments, they succeeded in affecting you, the connections will have to be broken and bloodshed will follow. They envy the man, Imam Ali himself, whom Allah has appointed the caliph. They want authority in religion to convert it into means of grasping wealth and power, imperialism. They want Islam to go back into the pre-Islamic ways of life and civilization. If you remain faithful to Allah and sincere to Islam, then your just rights and claims can be that we allow you to follow the Holy Book and the ways of life and traditions of the Holy Prophet to establish truth and justice and to prove Islam to be the most exalted and supreme religion. Sermon 175. Just before the Battle of Jammu, when Imam Ali reached Basra at the head of his army, the Basrites sent Kulayb Jami to find out from Imam Ali whether it was right for him to wage this war. Imam Ali fully explained the situation to him. On hearing all the details and convincing himself of the facts of the case,
he was satisfied that Imam Ali was fully justified to put up a fight in self-defense and in the defense of Islam.
He expressed his satisfaction and said that he would return to try to convince the Basrites. The following conversation took place between Imam and Kulayb Jami. Imam Ali advised him to be on the side of truth and religion. He said he was an envoy, and unless he went back to the people who had sent him, he would not do anything new. Hearing this, Imam Ali asked him, "Suppose some people send you in search of water and pasture, and suppose you find it and go to them with the news and with a willingness to guide them to the oasis, and suppose they refuse to accept the true information brought by you and to follow your lead and decide to go towards a place where there is actually no water and pasture, what will you do?" He replied that he would oppose them, would not go with them, and would act upon his own information. Imam Ali said, "If such is your decision, then you should take the oath of allegiance to me." He replied, "By Allah, O Commander of the Faithful, in the face of your argument, there is no alternative for me but to swear allegiance to you." So saying, he took the oath of allegiance to Imam Ali. Sermon 176. This part of the sermon, which Imam Ali delivered when he decided to defend Islam against Muawiyah.
In connection with this sermon, I want once again to draw the attention of the readers towards the following two facts.
The first fact is about the principles of astral physics, which Imam Ali disclosed at a time when no one on this world would even imagine them. At a time when this earth of ours was considered as the center of the universe, when earth, water, fire and air were considered as elements, when nobody even thought of believing in something as imaginary as radiation and energy, when the idea of finiteness or otherwise of the universe never entered the minds of the great thinkers, philosophers and scientists, when stars were considered as fixed bodies in the sky, Imam Ali was hinting at the finiteness of the universe, dissipation of energy, diffusion of darkness, invisible viruses, movement of floating continents, and all of that in one sermon. What varied subjects and what extensive knowledge! Does it not prove that the source of Imam Ali's knowledge was not terrestrial, but it was celestial and from divine source? The second fact is that Imam Ali, with all this divine knowledge of his, never thought of teaching physics, chemistry, biology, or astronomy. To him, more important was the evolution of human mind on moral plans. He merely hinted at the facts about nature or disclosed certain secrets of nature only when he was discussing or explaining attributes of Allah, the Almighty, or when he was speaking about his power, glory, or might. O Lord, the creator of high heavens and finite space, you are the mighty one who made the space a place where light, energy is dissipated and darkness is diffused by stars and nebulae. a place through which the sun and the moon move, a place for the planets to revolve and rotate, and residence for those angels who are never tired of praising you. O Lord, you are the one who keeps the earth in its position and place. You have made it a habitat for man, a place where insects, reptiles, and mammals came into being and disappeared, each having its sway on the earth for some time,
and where innumerable forms of life rose by degrees,
some of which can be seen by man, while many others were such that they were invisible, like viruses to human eye. O Lord, you have kept the mountains in their position, and have made them act as pivot for floating continents and habitats for human beings and animals. O Lord, if you allow us to achieve a victory over our enemies, then keep us away from vanity and false pride, and keep us firm on the straight path of your religion. And if, O Lord, you give them victory over us, confer upon us the honor of martyrdom. Let us die bravely, and protect us from oppression and tyranny. Where are those people who always defended a worthy cause, who bore hardships patiently, and who protected Islam and its sacred places? Remember, if you run away from a battlefield, humility and disgrace will always follow you. And if you face the enemy boldly and bravely, then there is paradise in front of you. Sermon 177. Following are three disconnected pieces of a discourse in which Imam Ali discussed the remarks of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, as well as the action of Talha and Zubair in persuading Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha to leave her home and to go out at the head of an army. As usual, this discourse starts with the praise of Allah. All praise is due to Allah, from whose sight one sky cannot hide the other, and one earth cannot act as a screen to the other. A person, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, once told me, "O Ibn Abi Talib, you are greedy of this caliphate." I replied to him, "You are more greedy than I. What is more, you do not merit this place, while I am competent enough for the post, worthy to hold it, and nearer to it in every respect. And you have been constantly trying your best to come between me and my right, and have incessantly endeavored to deprive me of it. Anybody claiming his just right cannot be considered greedy. But if those who have neither the right nor the qualification to hold a post and crave for it, they are rightly considered greedy of it. And when I fully explained to him the situation before all the people in the masjid, he was confounded, and he could not refute the arguments. O Lord, I invoke your help and protection against the enmity and antagonism of Quraysh and their supporters. They have broken their ties and relations with me, have usurped my rights, disregarded my claims, ignored the eminence of my status and authority of my position. They have continually gathered together to fight against me for a thing which was my right, and over which they had no claim. Now they tell me that the truth is that no one but I deserve the caliphate, and in the same breath they advise me to give it up, give up my right. Those people
Talha and Zubair and their supporters, left Makkah for Basra in such a way that they drove the wife of the Holy Prophet from place to place like slave traders driving slave girls from one market to another. Both of them left their wives safe and secure in their homes and brought out the wife of the Holy Prophet to serve their unholy and wicked motives. What an undesirable action.
She openly came out, heading an army of such people
as had in the beginning sincerely sworn the oath of allegiance to me, and were later instigated by the renegades to rebel against me.
She openly came out, heading an army of such people
as had in the beginning sincerely sworn the oath of allegiance to me, and were later instigated by the renegade